What comes to your mind when you think about church? Do you think about messages being preached, worship music being sung, activities and programs? What does a normal church look like? What if we took away everything we knew about the church as an organization, from church history or our church traditions? And what if we looked at the book of Acts as the blueprint for a normal church? First, we would see that a normal church is a praying church. In the book of Acts, we see prayer meetings everywhere. As people of God, we are called to pray both individually and corporately. We would see that a normal church is a supernatural church where people are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We would see that a normal church is a spiritual community of people who care for one another and for the community around them. A normal church experiences persecution, resistance to the gospel of Jesus Christ. A normal church is a mission-driven church where people are obsessed with reaching their community around them and the furthest corners of the world. So join us together as we find out what it means to act normal.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you today. Welcome to Grace. We're super glad that you're here. If we hadn't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Tim Davis, the one who Pastor Matias just put a lot of pressure on. Anyway, I get to serve with a great staff here at Grace under Pastor Wayne and Tracy, and we are so encouraged by what God's doing here. So thank you for being here this morning and for helping us kick off this brand new series. I hope you've had a great week this past week, and really that's just a matter of perception, right? I mean, when you really think about it, I mean, we just got to keep that right perspective. We got to stay positive. We got to keep the faith and have that healthy outlook on life. And if you're doing all that, then you had a great week no matter what, right? Right? In fact, it reminds me of a lady who actually had gotten up in years, and she had gotten so far up in years, she was, you know, had to be moved to a nursing home, and so at the time, she called the church because she was in need. How many of you think that's a good thing? Yep, so call the church when you're in need. So that's exactly what this lady did. She was in need, moved to a nursing home. So she called the church and so let people know. And so the pastor went to visit her. And the pastor asked her, how you doing? You know, how are things getting along? She said, Pastor, I've got cataracts and I'm nearly blind. I'm paralyzed on my left side. And I've almost lost my hearing. But thank God, because I can still drive. It's just a matter of perspective, right? It's all just a matter of perspective and how you look at things today. So I hope you had a great week. Amen. Amen. Hey, Pastor Wayne clearly communicated this morning in the video the goal of the new series that we're starting today. But let's just do a quick overview of the book of Acts. He explained that's where we're going to be over the next few weeks. Before we get focused in on our topic today from the book of Acts, again, we're going to do an overview. So listen real close. The official title of this book is actually The Acts of the Apostles, and there's a really good reason for that. In the book Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which we refer to as the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we read about all that Jesus began to do and teach until, all right, that he went up into heaven. Now, can I tell you today, when Jesus left the earth to go to heaven, he was alive. I said my Jesus was alive when he went to heaven. Amen? He was alive. He was breathing. The Bible said he's been resurrected. Over 500 people had seen him alive. And then he ascended up into heaven to go be with God. Now, chronologically, we could read the book of Luke, all right, into the gospel, read the book of Luke, and then turn right over then to the book of Acts and just keep right on reading. In fact, in verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Acts, it says, my former account Theophilus. Luke is writing the book of Acts, and when he speaks of that former account, he's talking about the book of Luke. So you can actually just read Luke, turn right over, start Acts chapter 1, keep right on going, and never miss a beat, all right? So the book of Acts, then, is Luke's story of how the good news of Jesus spread by Christ's followers through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you really kind of to dice it up there, or you split the book of Acts up, in the first half of the book, chapters 1 through 12, they describe the spread of the gospel in Jerusalem through a man named Peter. And then in chapters 13 through 28, it talks about how the gospel reached throughout Syria and then beyond just the Jewish people through a man by the name of Paul. So, Pastor is right on point to direct us to this section of our Bible to learn how the church should be acting both corporately and personally. I hope you brought your Bible with you today. I don't want to encourage you. If you haven't had your real Bible out lately, go ahead, pull that thing out. Amen? Bring it to church with you the next few weeks. Keep it open to the book of Acts. Follow right along and follow God's word, all right? Be in God's word. Hey, it'll bless you. So bring your Bible out. But if you don't have your real Bible with you, open up your fake Bible, turn it on, light it up, all right? And keep it open to the book of Acts. In just a minute, we're going to dive into chapter 1 right there and read the 14th verse. So stay right there, okay? Now, again, you know, here we're going to be spending this time in the book of Acts on a message series called Act Normal. So I'm always about practical. I don't want to just go through the motions, you know. So the question is, how can we act normal according to the book of Acts? Super glad you asked. I want to answer that question, or at least begin answering that question today with a story. Listen real close. I remember being a teenager, and every day it gets further and further away. Yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about. I remember being a teenager and visiting my grandmother's house. And when we would go to my grandmother's house for breakfast, she would always fix biscuits and gravy. Oh, yeah. Even the thought of it right now is ministering to me. Some of you, too, I see. But it was especially good when my grandmother would fix chocolate gravy. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, I hear you. Oh, it's so good, chocolate gravy. I know the thought you think, whatever. I thought the same thing until I sopped some up with a biscuit, and it changed my life forever. But my grandmother would fix for us biscuits and gravy. Sometimes it wouldn't even have to be breakfast time. We'd have biscuits and gravy. You know, it was just that good. You couldn't save it just for breakfast. But it was really good. I remember one morning specifically, though, that I was eating biscuits and gravy, and I noticed a Bible on my grandmother's table, and it was opened, and laying there right next to it, there was a notepad. And on that notepad, she had written down the things that she'd been praying about. And I noticed on that list my name. And right beside my name was the word salvation. And I saw that my grandmother had been praying that I would get right with God. And as I looked at my name and thought about my grandmother crying out to God on my behalf, it pierced my heart. I felt it. You know what I'm saying? It did something inside of me. And right after that, it wasn't long, I surrendered to Jesus. I started following him. And today I can tell you that although my grandmother's in heaven now with Jesus, I believe I'm in church today because of her prayers. Amen? Hey, if you know but somebody prayed for you, yeah, go ahead and give God thanks this morning. Amen. So we're going to be talking about this today. You can look in your notes, write this down. A normal church is a praying church. A normal church is a church that prays, all right? So if you flip the coin over then, a prayerless church is abnormal. If you have heard or ever been associated with a church that doesn't pray, that is abnormal. When we read the book of Acts, acting normal is praying consistently. Did you get it? If you're going to act normal, then we need to be people who of prayer. Now, just to clarify this morning, the praying that I'm referring to is not just, you know, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Check the box, I prayed today. Are you following me? Because in our culture, that's a lot of time what we're talking about when somebody's talking about praying. Went through the motions, I read the paragraph, I checked the box, good to go. That's not the kind of praying that I'm talking about today. In fact, if we look here, if we're really going to be a praying church and act normal, then the first thing we need to do, and again, look in your notes, the first thing we need to do is understand that prayer is our priority. Prayer is our priority. Let's take a look, Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. Look at the screen here. It says they, a few of them, individually, every once in a while, in prayer. Isn't that what it says at all, right? They all, say all. They all join, say together. Constantly in. They all join together constantly in prayer. Now, I want you to wrap your brain around this for a second this morning. The book of Acts opens with a prayer meeting. The entire book opens up with a prayer meeting. These early Christians are praying for the Holy Spirit to come, like Jesus has commanded them to do at the end of the book of Luke. He said to go and wait, pray for the Holy Spirit to come, the promise of the Father. And that's exactly what happened. They prayed, and God answered their prayer. Now, you would think, okay, I got what I want. God answered my prayer. I'm done, right? But if prayer is a priority, then we must keep on praying. I said we must keep on praying. Check out Acts chapter 2. Now we've moved down to chapter 2 and towards the end of the chapter. Look what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. God had already answered their prayer. He had already done what he said he would do. They prayed, he answered, and they got what they wanted. And after that, they devoted themselves to prayer. They kept on praying. They were people devoted to prayer, and we must be also. Somebody say amen. Amen. When Jesus was on the earth, I want you to think about this. When Jesus was on the earth, his clear God-given mission was to make a way for man, for me and you, to be in relationship with God. Amen? That was it. That's why he was born. That was why the first Christmas happened. Jesus from heaven to earth to save us, right? When Jesus left the earth, he went to heaven. His clear God-given mission changed. Now, he prays. In fact, in Romans 8, 34, the Bible says that Jesus is interceding for us. Prayer is so important to God that he gave his son this one assignment in heaven. Pray for them. They need it. And so the Bible says that Jesus is actually bringing your name, my name, before the Father in heaven in intercession. Isn't that so cool? Jesus is praying for you today. It is so powerful to understand how important prayer is. It's a priority. In fact, have you ever been so hungry that it physically hurt? You know what I'm talking about? You know, maybe that exit was a little further down the road than you thought it was. And now, you know, you're feeling it. You are hungry. Have you ever been desperate? You know, Pastor Matthias and Pastor Steve earlier were talking about the worship today. Have you ever been so desperate for God? Have you ever had such a deep desire for something that you pursued it with intense passion? You ever been there? Man, I remember one time specifically, I sure was. I remember years ago, this in fact was before the days of cell phones, my youngest son, he was 2 or 3 years old, and he and I had dropped Angie off to do some shopping, and we decided that we were going to take our minivan that we were driving at the time to go and vacuum it out and wash it, you know, and then go back and pick her up. Well, we had dropped her off. It's probably about 3 miles. The car wash is about 3 miles from where we dropped her. So we dropped her off, went to the car wash. And when I pulled up to the car wash, you know, it was one of those kinds that had the vacuums out in front of the stalls where you wash it. So you vacuum first, then you wash your car, then you pull out the other side and drive away. All good, right? So I pull up to the vacuum, all right? And I really don't know how this happened. All I know is that when I turned around, I put my coins in the vacuum. And when I turned around to get back into the van, it was locked. And we had been, my son and I had been listening to some Veggie Tales on our way to the car wash. And to keep that playing so that he would be distracted while I was trying to vacuum, I left the van running. So now I'm at the car wash. It's early in the morning. There is not a soul around. And I'm on the outside of the van. My two-year-old is on the inside of the van, and it's running. And there is no one around. Again, way before cell phones. So I get this great idea. You know, there's been once or twice where that rascal climbed out of his car seat. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I know it's not safe, but it was true. It happened. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna talk him out of here. I'm gonna talk him out. He's gonna go over to the door. I'm gonna talk to his smart kid, 2 years old. I mean, sharp. And he's gonna unlock the door. It's all gonna be okay. So I grab, you're not gonna believe this. I walked around to the other side of the van where the car seat was, and on my way over there, I found a piece of candy on the ground. I'm like, God, you hear prayers. So I picked up the piece of candy and I put it in front of his face, you know, on the window right there. And I'm holding, I say, you want this candy, buddy? You want this candy? Climb out of your car seat. Get out of your car seat. Come over to the lock. Open the door. And he's smiling. VeggieTales is playing inside. He's just jamming to VeggieTales, bobbing his head. And it's all good. And I'm about to have a heart attack. You know? And believe it or not, I did. I don't think it was the candy, because as soon as he climbed out of his car seat, instead of coming to the door on that side where I was at, he went straight to the driver's seat. Yeah, now my heart is like in my feet, you know? And I mean, every time my heart beats, I can feel it. And I'm getting desperate. And I look and I see that just on the other side of the stall, should the van go into gear, is a house. If that car gets into gear, he's about to be in somebody's living room. I was scared. I was desperate. And so I walked over to the driver's side. I had the piece of candy. I'm like, son, come on, come around to the door. Unlock the door. Just unlock the door. And he turns the VeggieTales up as loud as it will go. Hey, you can't make this stuff up. I'm serious. So now he's standing in the driver's seat. He's got the music turned up full blast. The van is running. I'm locked on the outside. My heart is beating out of my body. I am desperate. I started praying in English. I started praying in the spirit. And I prayed in Spanish, and I don't even know Spanish. I'm just praying. I'm crying out to God. I am desperate for God to intervene and to show up. And he grabs the steering wheel and starts jerking it back and forth. Dear Jesus, I'm about to have a meltdown. I'm desperate. And I just started praying, God, you're gonna have to do something before my son hurts himself. It's gonna be bad. And a lady from the church, from our church that we were attending at the time, drives up. I'm telling you, the parking lot was empty. And she works nights and was driving long distance home from work. Said that she just felt like, you know what, I wash the car before I go in and get to bed. And she pulled into the parking lot. And she must have thought I was an idiot. But I ran over to her car and I said, I need you to go into town, pick up my wife, and bring her here immediately. Like, as fast as you can. And she went into town, picked up Angie. Angie came back, had the extra key in her purse. We unlocked the door, and I beat that kid to the living daylights out of him. Hey, when prayer is a priority, you'll pursue it with intense passion. I mean, you'll cry out to God, it will be a priority, right? We'll do it because we need to. Not because somebody's sick or there's some kind of crisis. We'll pray because it's a priority in our life. Amen? Number two, prayer precedes providence. The reason that it's so important, listen, the reason that prayer should be a priority is because prayer precedes providence. What are you trying to say here, Pastor Tim? Well, you see, God, our good Father, wants to direct our paths and give us wisdom in times of decision. It's prayer that enables that to happen. Listen to me. The Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Every step, God wants to by his providence, lead and guide you. Now, check this out in Acts chapter 2, verse 23 and 24, all right? The Bible says, so they, the church, the early Christians, nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two that you've chosen. So get this, the church is in need of leaders, all right? They have this position that's open, and they don't want to just put in someone who is qualified. They want to put in God's man. They want to put in the person that God has for him. And so they prayed, and God answered. They were devoted to that, and because of that, God preceded the providence with prayer. The church believed that God had specific plans as to who should be in leadership. And so they prayed, and God answered and directed them in their decision. Friend, can I tell you that you and I can have good ideas, or we can pray and have God ideas. Yeah. Amen. We need to seek him, and the Lord will speak. I read, actually not too long ago, our small group went through a book called Whisper by Mark Batterson. There's actually a book that he wrote based on, and there's a small group curriculum based on it. In fact, you can check out the small group curriculum in Right Now Media, the video series called Whisper. You can pick up Right Now Media at info@graceassembly.org. You can see it right here. A free subscription from our church to you. And there are incredible videos there that you can get that are super powerful. It'll be a blessing to you. All you have to do, email info@graceassembly.org. Say, I want Right Now Media. We'll send out the invitation. It'll be a blessing to you. But I want you to see what Mark Batterson wrote in his book, Whisper. There's a quote. Here's what it says. Prayer turns appointments into divine appointments. Prayer turns appointments into divine appointments. You see, I believe that God actually wants to set up our day. When we pray first, then God's providence leads us and directs us. Amen? He leads us and guides us in this life. I believe that God protects us with his providence. Sometimes we know about it, sometimes we don't. I believe God keeps us sometimes from danger, and we don't even realize it. We don't even know what he kept us from. And then there's times that he protects us and keeps his hands on us with the way he directs our lives, and we realize it. There's a story in the book of Acts about this very thing happening. Begins in Acts chapter 10, and the introduction is here in the first four verses. Let's look at it. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. Any Corneliuses here today? None. God bless you. If your name is Cornelius, well, thank God that you can still drive. Right? Thank God you can still drive. You'll get that later. That was from the joke at the beginning, remember? Yeah, okay. You're worth waiting on. All right, here we go. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed. It doesn't say anything was wrong. He was just devoted to prayer, amen? And prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Friend, can I tell you, God hears you when you pray? And he answers prayer, and he leads us with his providence. Here's what happens in this situation. So this angel shows up and answers to God to Cornelius' prayers. And listen to this. God hears Cornelius' prayers and gives Cornelius specific directions about inviting this guy Peter to his house to share the gospel. Now, while all of those details are being worked out, Cornelius also invites his friends and family to his house. So now we have this party going on at Cornelius' house, right? All his family, all his friends are there, and Peter shows up. Peter shares with everyone there the gospel, the good news of Jesus, all about what he had done and taught. And listen to this. The Bible says that all that were there were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Cornelius prayed. God set up the circumstances that led to his entire family and friends being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you today, God will answer your prayer. He will set up circumstances to help you meet what he has planned for your life. Amen? As a church, when we pray, God will give us direction concerning the future. You know, so often we wait to pray until our bad choices have gotten us in trouble, right? And then we cry out to God out of the trouble. I want to encourage you, like Cornelius did, pray regularly, and you may even be able, he may direct you before the trouble comes. You may be able to avoid the trouble because you prayed before the trouble. In just a moment, at the end of the service, if you're here today and you need direction or wisdom, I want to encourage you to come forward and join with church leaders and pray that God would speak to you concerning his will, and that today you would leave this room full of peace and full of confidence, knowing that God has spoken to you and you are right in the middle of his will. Somebody say amen. Amen. Number three, not only does prayer need to be a priority, because prayer precedes providence, but finally, prayer precedes power. Anybody need any power in the room today? Amen. Check out Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So we have this promise from Jesus that we can receive the Holy Spirit when we ask for it in prayer. Can I tell you today that the path to power is prayer? Do you need strength in your life? Do you need more power in your life? Then I want to encourage you today, that starts with prayer. In this first chapter of Acts, Jesus told the disciples to go and wait in Jerusalem until they've been given power. And then in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit is given to the 120 people that were praying. And the Bible says, as a result of that outpouring, that a large crowd gathered. And then we read, check it out, in chapter 2, verse 14. "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say.'" Now, why is that so significant? Think about it. This is the same guy, this guy who just stood up in front of thousands, this same guy just a few weeks ago had a backbone like jello, and he didn't have enough guts to confess Jesus in front of a young girl, the Bible says. But now, after the prayer meeting, he stands up with a backbone like a crowbar in front of thousands. And he declares the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And at the end of Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the Bible says that those who gladly received were baptized, and over 3,000 people were added to the church that day. Think about that. He goes from being scared of confessing Jesus before a little girl, and now all of a sudden he stands up and declares Jesus, and 3,000 people get saved. What was the difference? Prayer. He prayed, he saw God, and God heard his cry and answered it and gave him power through the Holy Spirit. Friend, can I tell you today that we can do what we can do and we can get the results of what we can do? Or we can pray and get the results of what God can do. It's not limited, amen? If you're here today and you need supernatural power to help you, then I want to encourage you. At the end of the service, when we invite people to come for prayer, I want to invite you to come and receive prayer from the church leaders and believe that God will give it, that he'll give you exactly what you're asking for. And as you come, don't let fear or anything else hinder you. Don't let the enemy lie to you. You know, what will people think? Not very many people are going up there. I don't want to be the first one. Whatever. Don't let any thought from the enemy keep you from coming for prayer. Because I believe exactly what Jesus said. He said, if you ask your earthly father for bread, does it give you a rock? No. I believe in that exact same, the context of that scripture, that request was for power, the promise of the Holy Spirit. If you're here today and you need power, I want to encourage you at the close of the service, move from where you are, come and receive prayer, and we're going to believe God to give you exactly what you ask for, because that's what he's promised. Amen? Praise God. We're going to focus now this morning. We figured out that if we're going to act normal, right, then prayer has to be a priority. Prayer precedes providence, and prayer comes before power. It precedes power. So we pray, and then we get the power, right? So if that's acting normal, then how do I work that out? What are some practical things that I need to do to make sure those things are active in my life or going on in my life and I'm practicing them? The so what, all right? Well, look in your notes. We have some action points there. The first thing that I think is important for us to wrap our brain around today is that the book of Acts is a call to personal prayer. Say you're talking to me, Tim. Yeah, say it out loud. It's okay. Say you're talking to me, Tim. You see, the call to prayer is personal. You know, if you've, you know, been elbowing the person next to you and their ribs are bruised and broken, now it's time for you to bring it inward, right? It's time for you to look inward and say, okay, he's talking to me. Not anybody else around me, not the person on my left or my right. He's talking to me. The book of Acts is a call to personal prayer or individual prayer. So how do I become a person of prayer? First, I want to encourage you, talk to God about it. Have a conversation with him about it. Ask God to help you develop an intentional prayer life. Intentional, what do you mean? Pray on purpose. Cornelius prayed regularly. They were devoted to prayer. So pray on purpose. So how do you do that? I think it's important, have a time to pray. Right? Have a time that this is your time every day when you pray. It's easier to keep that time, keep that commitment, keep that in your life if you have a time where you pray every day. We're talking about doing it on purpose. How many of you know important things you do on purpose, right? You don't wait for them to happen on accident. I accidentally prayed today. No way. We got to do this on purpose, right? We got to do it on purpose. So have a time. Have a place. You know, now it may not work out every day where you can be at that exact place, but often it will. So I want to encourage you, have a place to pray. And then have a plan. Have something in motion. Don't just, you know, shoot in the dark. Have a plan, something that you can pray about. And we'll talk more about that here in just a minute. So have a time, have a place, have a plan. That's praying on purpose. Secondly, talk to God about everything throughout your day. Did you know God cares about even the smallest little detail of your life? The most intricate thing, the thing that you think maybe is not that important, God cares. And so I want to encourage you, talk to God about everything throughout your day. Thirdly, make a prayer model from what you read in the Bible. You know, when you're reading the scriptures, and as you read, I want to encourage you, make a prayer model from that. You know, today we heard talk about, you know, today's the day that the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Well, today's the day that the Lord has made, so thank God for it. So there's some things that you can praise God for, right? As his son and daughter, the day belongs to you. God made it. It's his. And as you are part of his inheritance, receive the day. So it doesn't belong to Visa or MasterCard or REMC or Duke. Right? This day belongs to me. I'm God's son. I'm God's daughter. So declare it. Give God praise for that. Amen? And so those are just some ways that you can make a prayer model from what you're reading in the Bible. Today, out at the information tent, there's some prayer books out there that pastors put together. And basically, it's a book full of prayer models, scriptures that he has read and then prepared prayer models from those scriptures. So you can get one of those prayer books today on your way out and stop by the information tent and say, I'd like a prayer book, please. And you can read through there and learn how to make those or create those prayer models from ways, from scriptures, all right? In fact, here in just a moment, I want to take just a few minutes and we're going to pray through the acronym of the book of Acts, all right? You see Acts there, A, adoration. We'll start with praise for who God is. see confession. We're going to pray for our sins to be forgiven. We're going to confess that we've left right things undone. And then T stands for thanksgiving. We're going to thank God for what he's done. And then we're going to finish up with supplication. We're going to ask God for specific requests that you and others might have. How many of you know God answers prayer? Not only is the book of Acts a call to personal prayer, but it's also a call to corporate prayer as a church. And so I want to challenge you. Join with the Grace family for corporate times of prayer. Don't put them off. When pastor calls for times to pray, that's not for his health, right? He wants the family of God to come together. He believes that God's put something in his heart that is important, and he wants the body of Christ to come together, the Grace family, to pray together. Every Tuesday at 6 a.m. right here in the worship center, we gather to pray. Now, I want to take just a minute right here. You know, we're heading into the summer here. We're the almost mid-June already. And I want to encourage you. Why don't you take this summer and say, you know what? I'm going to set aside the Tuesdays of this summer, and I'm going to come to the church at 6 a.m. I'm going to join with my church family here at Grace, and I'm going to pray. And you know what? He's super faithful at letting us out at 7 a.m. so that you can get on with your day. But there are some intense times of prayer. It's super good. I want to encourage you. Join with us every Tuesday at 6 a.m. And maybe, again, you just make that commitment through the summer and then see what God does. There are some other times to pray. You see there in your outline, some men's prayer every Saturday, 6:30 in room 104. We have 21 days of prayer that happen every January and sometimes at other times during the year as well. But you know what? There are also opportunities for prayer that have not even been started yet. I want to challenge you this morning. What's God saying to you about that? How about someone starting a small group and the focus is just on prayer? You just get together with a group of people, and you pray, and you seek God. I believe that God is speaking to someone even here today that might say, you know what, I want to lead a group. We're going to focus on times of prayer. We're going to add this time. We're going to add these hours to the hours of prayer that go on here at Grace. We need groups that pray. Amen. Hey, we have just a few minutes left this morning. Here's what I'd like for us to do. From the back all the way to the front, side to side, can we turn this room into an altar? And can we just spend some time, just a few minutes in prayer? And let's use this acronym from the book of Acts, A-C-T-S. And let's just take those letters and let's pray through them, all right? And so right there at your seat, will you just bow your head and close your eyes for a minute? And first of all, let's start with that A. Let's start with adoration. Will you just take some time and with your words right now, so that means you're going to have to talk out loud. It's okay, that person next to you, they're going to be talking out loud too, so they're not even going to hear you, all right? And let's just praise God for who he is. Will you help me right now, Father? I thank you. I thank you, God, that you're my creator. Lord, that you are good. I thank you today that you sit on the throne of the universe. Nothing happens outside of it first coming through you. Everything is Father filtered, and we're grateful for that today. God, I thank you because you are the one, Lord God, that makes sure that the world, oh God, keeps spinning. It's in your hands. Lord, even the depths of the waters, God, you hold in just the palm of your hand. And God, I thank you for who you are today. I thank you, Lord, that you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the God of Tim Davis, God of Bruce Richardson, Mike Spellman, Veronica Collins. You're my God. You're my Father today. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. I adore you. I worship you. I give you the throne of my heart. Thank you, God, for who you are. Praise you today. Praise you today, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're my provider. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're my banner. Lord, you're my peace. Lord, you're my everything. I adore you today. I worship you. In the name of Jesus. Let's take some time and confess right now, will you? Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just search me right now. Lord, show me the things that I've done, God, that weren't in your will. Times where I chose, Lord, to sin against you. Lord, forgive me today. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes me and makes me white as snow. Lord, I confess that, Lord, I've done things that I knew, Lord God, were outside your will. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray you wash over me right now. Forgive me, Jesus. I lay it at your feet. Lord, help me to turn from it. Even today, oh God, I will not go back. Lord, God, my sins are forgiven, and I'm grateful for that today. Lord, thank you, God, that you are forgiving me of the things that were good that I left undone, right things that I omitted. Lord, I'm asking you, wash over me today. I confess I need you. You are my Savior. You are my rescuer. You forgive me, Lord God, of my sins. Lord, forgive me right now in the name of Jesus. Let's spend some time thanking him right now. In fact, thank him for the sins that he just forgave you of. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you, God, for forgiving us. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that today we are forgiven, that we're saved, that we're ready for heaven because you forgive us, oh God. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done in our hearts and our lives. Thank you for providing for us, Lord, and making a way where there was no way. Thank you, God, for the power of your Holy Spirit that dwells in us as your sons and daughters. God, fill us even now. Lord, be glorified and exalted. We lift you up. Come on, will you open your mouth? Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. You're a good, good Father. Lord God, when no one else, Lord, would reach out to us, you reached down into the muck and mire and you lifted us up. Thank you, God, that our feet are on the rock to stay. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me. Thank you, Lord, for the prayers, Lord, of my grandmother, Lord, that caused you to reach out, Lord, and call me out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you, God, for all the good things you give us. You are good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Now, can we spend some time in supplication? If you need something from God, will you just ask him right now? Lord, we are grateful that you hear us when we pray and that you answer. You don't just leave us, oh God, in the midst of our need. And so I'm asking you, Lord, move out across this room even now. Lord, there are men and women that need your touch so desperately. God, I'm asking you right now, provide. Lord, open a door that no man, Lord, can shut. Pour out your blessing. Pour out your provision. Pour out, Lord God, Father, all that we have need of. Jesus, I'm asking you to meet people here. Lord, the needs that we carry, Lord, they're very real. Lord, we need a very real God. We need an encounter with a very real God today. Meet needs across this room. Heal bodies, Lord God. Touch people, Lord. Heal cancer in the name of Jesus. Arthritis has to go in the name of Jesus Christ. It can't stay. Lord, heal relationships right now, God. Family members, Lord, some that haven't spoken in years. God, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, restore that relationship, oh God. Bring peace, God, to that family. Lord, I'm asking you to move in hearts and lives of people. God, help us. Help us today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You see, is that easy, right? Is that easy? We move through all those letters of the book of Acts, A-C-T-S. I want to encourage you, do the same. Set up times of prayer. Have a prayer model, a plan that will help you to enter into times of prayer. Amen? Praise God. I want you to help me with these last couple of minutes here today. Would you close your eyes and bow your head with me? I think I would miss it if we didn't give an opportunity today for people to receive this good news that Peter and Paul talked about in the book of Acts. As I was praying, I thought maybe there might even be someone like me that day when I was sitting at my grandmother's table without Jesus. And maybe you're here today, and even when I told that story, it kind of struck a chord because you know that there's people praying for you because you haven't yet surrendered your life to Christ. I want to close today in my time here to let you know that today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Jesus has called you here today. It's not an accident. I believe that you're here and you're listening to me, whether it's online or you're sitting in this room. I believe Jesus is here to touch you and minister to you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed across this room, if you're here and you'd say, you know what, Pastor Tim, I need Jesus. I need to have that peace. I need to have the confidence that I'm going to heaven. I need to know that my past is over. It's been covered. It's separated from me, and I'm not carrying the burden of my past anymore or the weight of my past and the mistakes that I've made. I need to know that I've been forgiven and that heaven's going to be my home. If you're here, heads are bowed, eyes are closed all across this room, if you would like to be concluding this last prayer, and included in it, would you just slip up your hand right where you are? I want to know that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Anywhere in this room, God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Anywhere else, thank you, ma'am and sir, right over there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thank you so much. Anywhere else, just slip up your hand again real quick and right back down. Thank you. 7. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing right now. So there are about 7 people who raised their hands today with heads bowed and eyes closed. I want everybody in this room to pray this prayer with me because I want them to know that there's a family that loves them, that cares for them, and that is here to support them, not to turn their back on them. Amen? Will you pray with me across this room? Will you say, Dear Jesus, thank you for speaking to me today. I believe that you died on the cross for me and that you now have a plan for my life. Forgive me of my past and set my heart towards the future. Come into my life today and change me forever. Holy Spirit, with your help, I will live for Jesus every day. Fill me with your power and help me with the things I understand and the things I don't. Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, I surrender. I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God for those 7 folks that gave their hearts to the Lord today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Will you stand with me across this room? I want to invite our prayer team to come, if they would, and gather across the front here. Go ahead and make your way from where you are up to the front and turn, face the congregation. Today, you can declare your faith to others. We're going to be baptizing people with water in just a moment when we dismiss. So I want to encourage you. Maybe you prayed the prayer today and you're thinking, oh, how can I get baptized today? We have everything that you need to make sure that you get baptized. So just stop by the table out at the water baptism tank. They'll get in your hands everything that you need. And you may have come to church dry, but you can go home wet. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hey, so be sure, encourage those. Really, at Grace, water baptism is a party. We're celebrating with those that have given their hearts to Jesus and now they're making that public declaration. So we're going to believe God to do that today. So you stop out in the hub on your way, celebrate with those that are giving their lives to Jesus and now are being baptized. Now, I want to encourage you. We're going to do our blessing and have our blessing today. But right after our blessing, when we say amen, if you're here today, and again, you need providence. You need God's direction. You need healing in your body. Maybe you need the power of God in the midst of your life today. Whatever that need is, I want to encourage you. When we say amen, instead of walking that way, walk this way. Walk towards these leaders of the church. Let them join their faith with yours. And let's believe God to answer prayers today. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Will you extend your hand this way? The Lord bless you and keep you, church. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. If you need prayer, come. If not, God bless you. Have a great Sunday.
Fullness of eternal promise.